Jesus walks through the crowd. The day is hot. The walls of the courtyards and the buildings around reflect the heat. And Jesus walks through the gate and past the armed guards on duty there to keep order and to prevent robbery. And Jesus goes into the crowded courtyard. On one side are shelters set up and tables and benches. And under the shelters are the people who work there. And there are tables set up with scrolls and wax tablets used for making notes, and piles of bills and invoices. And there are the businessmen, arguing and pleading with accountants, pleading poverty. Well, they always did that. And then there are the really poor, just asking for mercy. They've given up expecting justice. And Jesus, as he looks around, takes all of this in. And he makes his way across the courtyard to the main part of the house, to the large room. And in the center of that room is a table set up where is a man at work. And Jesus walks purposefully to the table, and his shadow falls across the table. But the man working there, Levi, he keeps his head down, adding up his columns of figures because he loves figures, and also because it gives him this feeling of power. Let him wait a bit. Let him stew a bit longer. He likes that. And then Levi looks up into the face of Jesus, and their eyes meet. Come, says Jesus. And it's as if an electric shock goes right down the back of Levi. There's something about the way Jesus said come that just has to be obeyed. He can't do anything other than stand up and push his chair back. And the slave standing behind the chair pulls it clear. And the armed guard on duty in the room, his hand goes slowly to the hilt of his sword. Is this going to be trouble? But Levi moves around the table and follows Jesus out of the room. And it's at that very moment that Levi becomes Matthew. Matthew, the gift of the Lord. And Matthew is a prime example of the fact that there is no one beyond the power of God to call and use in his service. For God forgives every single person who truly repents and who obeys the call of Jesus upon their life. You see, if the Lord can forgive somebody like Peter who cursed and swore that he never knew Jesus, if the Lord can forgive Saul, actively persecuting and watching as followers of Jesus were arrested and taken away in chains, and being there at the stoning of Stephen and people laying their clothes at his feet. Stephen, the first of the disciples, stoned to death. You see, if the Lord can use Peter, if the Lord can call and use someone like Saul, that tells me that there is no one who is beyond the pale. No one that God cannot call and God cannot use in his service. It's interesting to note the place where Matthew was called. James and John, for instance, they were mending their nets at the seashore. Peter and Andrew, they were throwing their nets into the sea to catch fish. And Matthew, Jesus came and met him exactly where he was, at the place where he worked, the place where he spent the majority of his time. None of those people that Jesus called dressed up and went to synagogue. Jesus came and met them where they were. I think we limit the places of where we believe we can find God. He's not only found in churches, he's not only found in sacred spaces, he's found in places such as I was at yesterday at Savile Gardens. He's found and seen in the magnificence and the beauty of flower displays. He's found and seen in churches, yes, but he's also found and seen in stones, in trees, in flowers, in one another, in all kinds of situations. Don't limit places, don't limit to where you believe God can only be found. You see, how open are you to hearing and receiving word from God wherever you may be? This is what the call of Matthew teaches us, that God comes to where we are, speaks to us, calls us, encourages us, builds us up in every single situation where we may be. There is God. Look at Saul. Jesus stopped him in his tracks and called him while he was on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians there. And it was on that journey that Saul's life was changed forever. He had that life-saving encounter, life-changing encounter with the risen Lord. And that's the beauty of Jesus. He meets us where we are. He meets us as we are. We don't have to fulfill this criteria. We don't have to fill out that. We don't have to do anything except this. When you hear the voice of God, respond to it. And say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. What do you want from me?" Just follow him. Jesus is still doing that, calling people as, where, and when they are. You know what I'm talking about, because you know how Jesus first called you. You know exactly where you were. You might even be able to tell me the day and the time. But when Jesus says, "Come, follow me," you go. You don't say, "Well, okay, Lord, can you answer me this question and that question before I do it?" No. He says, "Come." And that's what faith is all about. And that's all that Jesus is looking for from us. He wants us to respond to that simple, "Come, follow me." And we obey. And as we obey, we prove that Jesus can be trusted. Trusted with everything. But you won't know that as a fact unless you do it. Following Jesus moves the theory into the fact. What does the old chorus say? "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And we obey because this is Jesus talking. Jesus, who is Lord of Lords, who is King of Kings. He's either Lord of all or else he's Lord of nothing at all. And if Jesus is Lord, then he's going to make sure that all the questions we have about the future will be answered as he demonstrates his lordship to us. But he does it gradually. So it enables us to grow in faith as we follow him. Because the majesty, the glory of Jesus is so great, we wouldn't be able to take it in all in one go. See, friends, if Jesus is Lord of this church, he knows the plans that he has for you as his people. And all he says to you is, "Do you believe it? If so, put into practice what you are claiming to believe. Follow Jesus as he shows it and as he reveals it to you. There's something about an encounter with Jesus that changes everything. You can see it with Andrew. Andrew, the first thing that he did was to go and call his brother and spend time with him. And Matthew gets up, and Matthew immediately becomes a missionary because he goes and calls all his tax collector friends and he says, come on, something's happened that's changed my life and I want you to share in it. Come on, come to my house and we're going to have a huge feast. And those people that Matthew called, they were exactly like him. They were social outcasts. They were banned from the synagogues. Nobody liked a tax collector. They worked for the Roman government. And not only did they take the Jews that were due to Rome, but they also took a bit more. And they pocketed all the extra that they could. And Matthew, he gave a great feast. And his house must have been a large one because Jesus was there, his disciples were there, the tax collectors were there, the sinners were there, all were made to feel welcome, all were enjoying this lavish entertainment, and at the very center of it all was Jesus. Matthew wasn't ashamed of being a disciple. He wanted to show his tax collector friends that something amazing had happened in his life. Something he'd never thought possible. He had a new purpose. There was a new drive. There was a new light in his life. And he wanted to share with his friends. Now, sharing a meal in Jesus' time meant that you identified with the person whose house you went to and whose table you sat around. So here is Jesus identifying with Matthew, identifying with Matthew's friends who are all tax collectors. And here is Matthew willing to identify before all his friends with Jesus and what Jesus stood for. And Matthew, he's a living example of mercy. The mercy that Jesus challenged the Pharisees to go and find out about. The Pharisees acknowledged Jesus as teacher, but now he gives them something more to go and find out. Go and find out about the mercy of God. Go and learn it from this reference that you know. It's in Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, that text, well, that should have been read the other way round. I desire mercy. No. I desire sacrifice, not mercy. Because for the Pharisees, they were a bit skewed in their thinking. For them, sacrifice meant obedience, and this, as far as they were concerned, was far more important than showing mercy. But Jesus points out, you're a bit skewed in your thinking, you Pharisees. Hosea's emphasis is on mercy. The Hebrew word is chesed, meaning steadfast love. And here we're coming to the very heart of what this is all about. The heart of God, the mercy of God, shown in Jesus coming to somebody like Matthew, a tax collector, Matthew who worked for the Romans, Matthew who lined his pockets with everything he could get hold of. That's what Jesus' ministry is about. It's about mercy. The granting of unmerited favor. That's what mercy means. Unmerited favor to those who don't deserve it. You see, if we felt we deserved mercy, it wouldn't be mercy. That's why Jesus was able to sum up his ministry with these words. I've come to invite sinners to be disciples, not the righteous. Or, as the Message puts it, I'm here to invite outsiders, not to coddle the insiders. Because Jesus' mission is based on mercy and not merit, no one is despicable enough to be outside of the mercy of Jesus. And I'm so glad that that is true. Here's Jesus calling a social outsider. Here's Jesus showing compassion and mercy, and Matthew's life changed beyond all recognition. And Jesus reached out to him just as he was. And if Jesus can reach Matthew, if Jesus can reach you and you and me, he can reach anyone. Anyone on the social fringes, and tell them this: God loves you. Telling someone that God loves them gives them worth. It gives them value. It's good news to hear that somebody loves you just as you are. The poorest of poor, living on city rubbish dumps, born and live on city rubbish dumps and die on city rubbish dumps in India, in South America, around the world. There are people like this who scavenge for rubbish. They never hear anybody say, God loves you. What about the people walking up and down the high street here in Colchester? What about the people in shop doorways? When was the last time they heard somebody loves them? What about the people who are worried about tomorrow? Worried about climate change? Worried about economic situation? Worried about Brexit? Worry, 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 worry. Piles up and piles up. Tell them God is in charge. God loves them. To hear that God loves is a life-changing experience. And Matthew's banquet, that became an evangelistic opportunity for the social outcasts, the unloved, because they were graced by the presence of Jesus, who came to call such people into his kingdom. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me and find your pride again. Follow me and find out what life to the full is really all about. Follow me and you have a purpose in your life. You have a reason to get up in the morning. So what does Matthew teach us today as we draw to a close? First, Jesus called Matthew exactly where he was at work, in the local tax office, called him to follow him. Jesus called to you. How did it come? Where did it come? Where were you? See, Jesus' call to you might mean simply this: I've called you. Come and be my disciple. And you respond. And Jesus says, lovely, now I want you to stay just where you are, and I want you to share my love with the person next door to you on this side, person next door to you on that side. Just be who you are, where you are, following me. And that's what Jesus asks for: faith, and for you to recognize this, that all things work for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For Matthew, it meant leaving the tax office, following Jesus for 3 years. And then, what happened next to Matthew? Well, there are various traditions. One says he went to Ethiopia and Arabia. Another says that he went with Andrew and took the gospel to the Black Sea coast. Truth is, we don't really know which way he went, but we do know this. We've got a gospel written by Matthew. we know this. Whatever God calls us to do, God is looking for you to be faithful to that call, just the way that Matthew was. And accepting that call meant this. His life immediately changed. His life immediately deepened. And Jesus, well, he was glad to identify himself with Matthew. And he still is. And that's the message that we take to the world. And that's the theme running through Matthew's gospel. And that's what Matthew wants to do. He wants to raise the profile of Jesus. And as you read through Matthew's gospel, you see him referring time and time again to Old Testament. This is that was written about and referring to how Jesus is seen in the Old Testament. The shadow of Jesus falls across the reader of Matthew's gospel, just as it fell across Matthew that morning as he sat at his tax collector's table. Matthew knew immediately. He had no option but to get up and respond to that, "Come and follow me." So, here's my final question. What's been your response? Your response to the shadow of Jesus falling across your life? What's been your response when Jesus says, "Come, follow me"? Only you know that answer. And only you know if you're following Jesus with a whole heart, without looking back, and going on. Because that is the only way to deepen your faith. That is the only way to put into practice what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for calling Matthew into your holy work. Lord, you have spoken to each one of us this morning. Perhaps you've renewed a call in our lives that we have heard before. We've not wholeheartedly followed it. It's been a yes, but. Or it's been a yes, but, you know, first let me go and sort this out, and let me go and sort that out, and then, yeah, then I'll find time to follow you. Lord, forgive us if that has been the case. Do come again in your grace and mercy and call us and give us the courage to say, "Yes, Lord, I hear you." Like the little Samuel did in the temple. What have you got to say to us this morning, Lord? Lord, Matthew shows us that nobody is beyond the pale. There's nobody that you can't call and use and change as they follow you. Others of us, Lord, have been following you for years, and it's been such a wonderful experience and adventure. Give us strength to continue that adventure, Lord. Anoint us afresh, Lord, if we're feeling a bit weary, if we need food for the journey. Provide it, Lord, we pray, through your word, through a special anointing from your Holy Spirit, through one another. Lord, you know just what we need as we bow before you now. So in grace and in mercy, we open ourselves to you. Here we are, Lord. ready to be used. Use us, we pray, for your glory. Amen.